At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
TV. On the radio.
Roll it there, Cadet.
Hey, how you doing?
Bazinga.
Well, I didn't expect the kind of Spanish Inquisition.
One for everybody in the audience.
It's going to be legendary.
You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
Wanda, is there something special about today?
Well, I know the apron is a bit much, dear, but I am doing my best to blend in.
No, there on the calendar. Someone's drawn a little heart right above today's date.
Oh, yes, the heart. Well, don't tell me you have forgotten, Viz.
Forgotten? Oh, Wanda, I'm incapable of forgetfulness. I remember everything. That's not an exaggeration. In fact, I'm incapable of exaggeration.
Well, then tell me what's so important about today's date.
What was the question again? Oh, well, perhaps you've forgotten yourself.
Gee, heavens no. I've been so looking forward to it.
As have I. Today, we are celebrating.
You bet we are. It's the first time we have ever celebrated this occasion before.
It's a special day.
Perhaps an evening.
Of great significance.
To us both.
Naturally.
Obviously.
Exactly. Hold on, us.
What an odd show. That's WandaVision, WandaVision. Our episodes stream every Friday on Disney Plus. James Dempsey joins us once again. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon to you.
I suppose it's an odd show given where these two characters came from. These are Marvel characters.
Yeah, so this is the first, it's a continuation of the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 4, but it is the first foray into like scripted television, right? Because everything else that we've gotten in this, you know, in the last, we'll say, I guess 12 years probably, has been a movie, and now they're moving into TV because they've sort of finished this big arc of however many movies it was, and some characters have made it and some of them, plenty of them haven't. And in this instance, we have two of those, right? So here's the funny thing about this. I don't know if I could, if any of this is going to qualify as a spoiler for maybe a 2018 movie, but in 2018, in one of the Avenger movies, Vision doesn't make it, right? And in this TV show, we find Vision happily living a like I Dream of Jeannie kind of, you know, bewitched sitcom life with the Scarlet Witch, also known as Wanda Maximoff, and she is one of the Avengers, and she has these sort of telekinetic and whatever they want with red CGI computer graphics powers. And one of those is the ability to sort of manipulate realities. So we know that she is somehow responsible for this. But what you get here is kind of 25 minutes of like Bewitched, right? A 1950s family sitcom. It was even filmed in front of a live audience when that was possible. So the laughter track is actually real. It's not fake. It is all styled exactly like it is a 1950s show. And we've only had two episodes so far. And it's a little bit like if you kind of mixed, I would say, Twin Peaks at its kindest and nicest form with I Dream of Jeannie and a splash of like the movie Pleasantville with Reese Witherspoon and Tobey Maguire, who got sucked back to the 1950s and brought color to this black and white world. Because every now and again, we get these like signs that something isn't quite right, and there's a very tiny splash of color here and there. But other than that, the other thing that is happening is that each episode, even though we've only seen two, the understanding, based on the trailer anyway, and the end of the second episode, is that each episode is sort of going to move the family sitcom forward in a decade of sort of TV making. So we've had the 50s, we're into the 60s, then the 70s, 80s, 90s are all going to come. And it's a strange move, right?
Yeah.
It's a very strange move to take these you know, probably like I don't think Scarlet Witch and the Vision are the household names of the Avengers amongst the sort of people who do not love those movies. Now, there are millions of people who love those movies. They are some of the most highly box office movies in the world. They're hugely successful, and for many people, they are household names. But these are definitely the like B team Avengers, right? And yet, what people expect from a Marvel movie is that this is going to be action and adventure and quips, because there's plenty of those, but like a bit of derring do and super heroics. And thus far, we've had none of that. I mean, the opening episode is about a dinner party and using your witchy telekinetic powers to like solve a dinner crisis. And the second episode is about a magic, like, a talent show and Vision and Wanda doing a magic trick as part of it. And I have to admit, I found it incredibly charming. Now, I like the Marvel movies, right? I'm not this like cinema with a like ego on the E snob thinking that they are like beneath us in terms of entertainment. I like them. I find them entertaining. I've rewatched them even, right? They have their place and I like them. But this is a very unusual move for it because it is so completely disconnected from everything that has come so far that it's very intriguing in and of its own right. Mm. And yet I don't know if someone is not a Marvel fan, if they're going to find anything here that they can hook into, because even though it is completely disconnected from Marvel, unless you really have a fondness for these characters, I don't know if you're going to go, oh, I really want to watch a like I Dream of Jeannie kind of remake show in the year 2021, right?
Yeah.
Or certainly not a series of that. And it is an unusual, I just can't get over how unusual the route it is. I don't really know an awful lot about the showrunner, who's this woman named Jack Schaefer. All I can say is she's written a couple of the Marvel movies, Captain Marvel and the very much delayed Black Widow, which is coming hopefully at some point this year. Other than that, she wrote a movie called The Hustle, which I think is a remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Anne Hathaway. But really, I found it very charming as 25 minutes of TV. I thought it was kind of kooky and very funny. I thought it built on the absolute chemistry and charm between its two leads, which made it incredibly watchable. And yet it sort of had me hooked with these sort of Easter eggs, including breaking halfway through for an advert section, which just sort of reference, which were made up ads, like one ad each time, but referencing other bits of Marvel materials, which are far beyond my sort of understanding of Marvel material, but enough that I know that it's an Easter egg. And yet, just all in all, I'm quite just intrigued by where it's going. Like, if I was to compare this to The Mandalorian, when The Mandalorian started, you know, I watched that first episode, I waited for Baby Yoda to come, and then I was sort of pleasantly bored for a while, right? Like, it's really nice, it's really pretty. Not an awful lot happens, certainly in the first season. Gets a bit better, definitely, in the second. But this is just such a left turn for Marvel to go in. I am actually like, I'm very intrigued for tomorrow to come so I can watch the next episode.
The central concept in, say, I Dream of Jeannie, or indeed Bewitched, was that one was there's a genie living in my ordinary suburban house. The other one, there's a witch living in my ordinary suburban house, but we can't let the neighbours know. So, you know, is this a similar in the sense that we can't let the neighbours know because I've got some sort of magic stone welded into the middle of my head?
Yes, except this time both of them are hiding their powers, right?
Right,
it's not,
okay.
There's not like a straight man will say. Both of them are leading these fantasy lives. He goes off to work in a business where it's not even clear what he's doing. And when he's trying to figure out what they're doing, is sort of stonewalled by whatever fantasy they're wrapped in, refusing to play ball. And then Wanda at the same time is sort of like is the stay-at-home housewife wearing the apron and befriending the neighbor who's played by the great like character actress Catherine Han, who comes in as Agnes and like is swigging cocktails and offering terrible recipes that are like 1950s and cutesy and weirdo. But we're not really getting to any of the bottom of it yet. Now, I don't know how long that can sustain itself, right? If there isn't a bit more movement in kind of what the mystery here is in the next episode, I could see people beginning to like want to dip out of this, because the first two episodes set the groundwork for this being this like, you know, Americana, lovely 50s, everything's great and wonderful world with these pockets of what's going on? This is a bit sinister. But like, I needed to kind of punch through and be a bit more sinister. Otherwise, it's just this nice, like, I Dream of Jeannie remake, and I could just watch that.
But they must know that the people watching it know where these characters came from. So there's something askew here.
Absolutely.
And so are the two main characters aware that there's something askew here?
They are, so they're sort of bought into the fantasy themselves, right? As in they are, I think it's sort of saying that well, we know that Vision isn't even, Vision died, right, in one of the Marvel movies. So he was a computer program to begin with, who then was given corporeal form through a magical stone, right? It's as easy as that.
Yeah.
But anyway, this time around, we can assume, I understand the log line from Disney is that it takes place immediately after the events of Avengers Endgame, the most recent Avengers movie.
Mm.
And that this is presumably, we are to presume something to do with the Scarlet Witch's all weirdo powers. But it's all just, what I want to say was how charmed by this I was. I thought it was so fun and pleasant to watch. I thought they had great comic timing. It was silly and irreverent and just fun. Like, it was a really good, fun hour of TV watching the first two episodes.
Okay, right. It is an intriguing one. Right, a couple of bits of TV news. As we were talking about previously, Sex and the City is going to get a reboot, but without Samantha Jones. And there's a lot of speculation as to how they're going to handle that.
Yeah, so the betting has started on it. And like, trust the bookmakers to always find, you know, an angle, right? So the an American bookmakers that I'd never heard of called Bovada, they've been running, they've been taking bets basically on how they're going to explain out the absence of Samantha Jones, who obviously was this key figure in the, you know, one of the four main characters, award-winning role for Kim Cattrall. And the number one in, like, the shortest odds are on her being killed off, which people know was the mooted plot for Sex and the City 3, the movie. They were going to kill Big off. They might just rehash that. In second place is that she's just left New York. In third place is that she is, where have I written it? Basically, in third place, they're just not going to mention her at all, which seems seems the most odd. In fourth place is that she's still living in New York. And then in last place, definitely a long shot, is that she's been confined to prison or an institution.
Right, or she gets trapped in a 1950s sitcom and can't get out. James Dempsey is still with us. He's been telling us about WandaVision. The first couple of episodes are still available on Disney Plus, and each episode drops every Friday. Brian on Twitter says, in addition to the references James makes regarding WandaVision, I'd also throw in The Truman Show. Two episodes in and I'm on board. It's very different to anything I've ever seen. And that alone is enough for me. Though Paddy says, I love Marvel, I love sci-fi, I could not finish it. It is terrible 50s stuff. The live audience, or canned laughter, turns out it's a live audience, Paddy, is off-putting. I do not like it. Barr says, I've little or no interest in Marvel, but I must say that I just watched the trailer and I'm completely intrigued. It seems like a completely mad idea. I have no idea what they're going to where they're going to go with this. Let's hope it doesn't do a Lost. Says Barr. Though Paul says, OMG, that WandaVision clip makes me wish I was deaf. But thankfully, Call My Agent is back on Netflix from today with Series 4, says Paul. On that subject, James, you're the ideal person to ask, not just because you're a TV critic, but also because you're a French speaker. Yes. I watched a trailer for it because I'd seen a lot of buzz about it. I thought, this is execrable. or is it just the French just have a completely different conception of what comedy is?
Oh, I have to admit, I actually quite like Call My Agent. Now, put it this way, I've only seen a handful of episodes, but I do like it. It's about an agency of the top tier actors in France. So it has loads of cameos by French actors playing versions of themselves, and I'm actually quite I'm quite fond of it. If you watched it and you didn't like it, so be it. But
watched a trailer. In fairness,
yeah, give it a go. Give the first episode a go. I would recommend it.
Right. Okay. It's just that there seemed a lot of kind of eye rolling, and you know the way, like in France, people think clowns are funny rather than terrifying.
Well, there probably is some of that, but you can just be distracted by the subtitles down below.
Okay, we'll move on to our second show of the day. It is Back to Life. Season 1 is now streaming on Netflix. Here's a clip.
So your CV, it's quite gappy, as in there's a gap in it. It's mostly gap. In fact, it's all gap.
I think that's a matter of perspective.
It says you worked at Fat Face in 2000.
Critical Role.
And then nothing.
Yes. I went travelling.
Travelling? Oh.
Yeah.
In 2000?
Yes.
Until now?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go?
Burma, which is now also called Myanmar.
Was that before or after they opened the borders there?
Yeah.
Which?
Yes, it was. Yes.
Yes, it was. The premise is fantastic. And the execution, probably, I think you have opinions about that, James.
Yeah, I do. I think, ultimately, I like this a lot. And I sort of think it fell into a few traps due to its own plot, right? But what I will say from the outright is that a season two was greenlit by the BBC already. And I think that it has potential to really grow in season two because it has sort of put to bed some of the things in season one. So this is a TV show created by its star, who we heard there, Daisy Haggard, who is this kind of like a bit actress, character actress from the UK. You might recognize her from a few things. She was in an episode of Inside Number 9 and like has been a supporting player in various things over the years. But this is a real star-making role for her. And look, she's the writer as well. So, you know, her heart and soul has gone into this. And she plays Miri, who we learn right at the beginning has just been released from prison after serving an 18-year sentence for murder. So, I mean, she's a convicted murderer. And we learn, we learn throughout the six episodes sort of what has happened, and we learn some background information about the crime. But just stop and think about how challenging that is even to begin with, right? This is a comedy, and I wouldn't even necessarily go quite as far to say like black comedy. I mean, the comedy is quite broad strokes comedy, really. Daisy Haggard, she's this quite like sort of soft-spoken, nice person. So we're immediately supposed to be like sympathetic towards this convicted murderer, right? Mm. And that thereby creates the challenge, because as the episodes go on, they're sort of fleshing out the background of why, you know, not quite why she killed or how she killed, but some of the details around the murder. And there's a sort of a B plot involving, I think, this kind of like true crime podcast maker or something that for me fell completely and utterly flat and really didn't go anywhere, right? Where it really exceptionally works is sort of just Miri's interactions with the world, like trying to get a job or befriending this man next door or dealing with an old school friend, or particularly her interaction with her two parents whose lives were impacted by her actions and her prison spell, and who now have her back as an adult in their house, and everything is a bit awkward and it's all a bit strange. They're played by Geraldine James, who people will definitely recognize, and Richard Durden. And there's excellent chemistry between all three of them, as well as great comedy and pathos to be found in all of these situations. And Daisy Haggard makes us root for Miri, right? You cannot but like take her to your heart, because she is just really funny and charming and nice and accepting of what she's done, right? At no point is she sort of like hard up, boy, I didn't deserve it or anything like that. She's going like, you know, she accepts she's a murderer and goes on with it and has served her time and is trying her best to move on. And that's what I'm really looking forward to if it does get this second season that's been promised, right? Because I hope that some of the dramatic stuff that they sort of hyped up, I feel, just kind of pushed the plot needlessly sometimes in directions that were that took away from the real charm of this show. I understand it's a very difficult line to tread to try and make a warm comedy about a murderer.
Yes. But I suppose they had to explain the backstory. But I think like there is a kind of a reveal in the last episode.
Yes.
We watched it. We had it guessed by, I think, episode 3.
But
it didn't add or subtract to it, really. But
I agree. Yeah. And I just kind of, I do feel that reveal will have some hangover in the second series. But I just hope they kind of get rid of the true crime podcaster guy, because for me, he did nothing. He didn't really move the plot on in any exciting or interesting way. Whatever came out would have come out anyway, right?
Mm.
But when it is good, it is hilariously good. It is really, really funny. And when it's at its weaker points, they're short-lived, so it doesn't really matter. You kind of just move on anyway.
Yeah, an awful lot of masturbation jokes. Did you notice that? It's almost like you could start to notice that about series. They're like one sort of joke, and then they revisit it quite a lot. Right, we'll move on to A Discovery of Witches, Season 1 and 2, now available to stream on Now TV. Here's a clip.
Every day of my life is a battle. A war with myself.
You are not defined by the worst things you've done.
You have no idea what I'm capable of.
You won't hurt me.
Do not for one moment assume you know him.
Ooh, scary. Is it supposed to be scary?
Yeah, yes and no. I'm somewhat baffled by this one right now. I'm going to say that this is a late in the week choice for me because I needed to find a third one and I was struggling to find a third one. And it was there and I had seen the trailer. And look, this came out, I think, in 2018, originally the first series. And the second series debuted on Sky just this month. And the reason why I kind of picked it up was because I had seen the first series was set in contemporary times and based on what I could glean from the costumes in the second one, it's based in like the 1600s or 1700s or something like that. So I just kind of wanted to give it a go. I knew nothing about it except obviously its title indicates there's some supernatural weirdness. And this is like, right, so are you familiar with the concept of a Mary Sue, which is this character created by a writer? It's a woman, and she's like this perfect paragon of what the writer wants herself to be. And that is who you get in Diana Bishop, Dr. Diana Bishop, played by the Australian actress Teresa Palmer. This is based on a trilogy of novels by a sort of occultist and alchemical historian named Deborah Harkness. And she creates Diana, who is the youngest ever tenured professor at Yale and also a witch. And she's studying in Oxford and is being potentially offered a job in Oxford. And I don't understand why at all points she's not just going, I have a really great job at Yale. I'll just leave all of this weird stuff and just go back there. But anyway, she finds this unusual book. It is, you know, and it has been lost for centuries. And this ignites the potential potential war between the vampires led by Matthew Good doing his very slow, sexy speaking there. And also there are demons, but their part hasn't yet been fleshed out enough in Where I Am. And it is a classic, like, I mean, this is every trope you've ever seen in Twilight, in like going back to Buffy in the 90s, going back, you know, to any kind of weird supernatural thing where we cannot fall in love. It is forbidden. We are in love, right? by episode 3. And the thing I found most bizarre about this is it's sort of not good television. And yet I keep finding myself going back to it, because it's just not quite boring enough to give up on. It's sort of like, I keep waiting for something to happen. Like the few bits of magic that have happened have been like wind. She created witch wind, which was just a fan basically blowing people around. And it just feels like it has the potential to be so much better. And yet it isn't. So I'm not really encouraging anyone to give it a go unless you absolutely love kind of Twilight brooding vampire nonsense, in which case it'll probably be your cup of tea.
Another rave review from James Dempsey. James, thanks a million for talking with us today.
TV on the radio.
Roll it there, Clint.
Hey, how you doing?
Bazinga.
Well, I didn't expect the kind of Spanish Inquisition.
One for everybody in the audience.
It's going to be legendary.
You just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.